My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast.
Hello, everyone. I hope we've all recovered from Monaco, baby. Yeah, the Monaco Grand Prix. I just realised at the end of the last podcast, I said it was going to be a great sporting weekend, yet I sounded really lethargic about it. It was a brilliant sporting weekend. I just had to say that with enthusiasm.
What else happened?
Oh, there was loads of stuff.
I've got no idea.
There was loads of stuff. Rugby, football, Champions League.
Oh, I caught the end of the Champions League. That was pretty exciting.
Basketball's going on.
Oh, yeah, now that I can get into.
All sorts of stuff. But we've got to stick it to the Grand Prix and the Formula One stuff, because that was wonderful. Even if maybe the racing wasn't the be-all and end-all of it. Hello, I am Michael Bailey, as I should say. I have with me today, Kyle Cumbers is here.
Hello there.
You right, Kyle?
I'm very well.
Good to see you. I'm very good, thank you. Looking very dapper. Like the shirt and tie combination. It's worth a picture on Twitter.
And he's going to have to stop spinning on that chair, because that's going to make me seasick if he keeps doing that. Because he's just in my peripheral vision.
I'll keep still.
That's all right.
Keep it still. That was Perry Hamilton, who's
hello.
Here.
Hello, hello.
You good?
Yes, yeah. I feel like I haven't been here in ages. I feel like I've missed a couple, and then there was the break before that, and I feel like I've let the side down. So
not at all.
Back with a vengeance.
Back with a bang. I mean, if anything, it saved you from the prediction nightmare that most of us endured over the weekend. Richard Baxter's here.
Hello.
Good to have you along, Richard.
Thank you.
Settling into a nice little rhythm here, as you are on the predictions.
I don't know.
Yeah, you do. You do know. Right, let's get straight on to the action. Monaco, round six. Lewis Hamilton and Nico Rosberg. The whole thing exploded a little bit, through qualifying and then through the race. Nico won both, I suppose. He was on pole from qualifying. He won the race. Lewis was second in both. Not particularly happy about it in certain elements. Where should we start? Should we start with a bit of qualifying? Let's get this first thing out of the way, shall we? Qualifying. Nico Rosberg has done a pole lap. He's on a decent lap. Goes off at, I can't remember which turn it was now.
Marabout.
Yeah. Was it Marabout? It was Marabout, wasn't it?
Yes, I didn't think it was. I thought it was Massenet.
According to Tobias Gruner, the German journalist, Marabout.
Mirabeau, okay.
There you go. I stand corrected, said the man in the orthopedic shirt.
Went off at Mirabeau, down the escape route, which seems to always be a dead end. So not much escaping
there. Not to Kimi.
You can't escape
Kimi. Kimi would know his way around it.
Which, of course, produced the yellow flag, which stopped Lewis Hamilton in his tracks, who was on a fast lap. Did he do it deliberately? Did Nico do it deliberately to get himself pole position? Or was it an accident, I suppose?
I didn't think he did. I think it was just a mistake. Mainly because Rosberg doesn't seem the type of bloke to do that.
He's a racing driver, Carl.
That's true.
He's a racing driver and he wants to win at all costs. However, I agree with you because I think Rosberg in his head would know I'm quick enough to beat Lewis.
But he did, make a mistake at the top of the hill. So he saw he was losing time, and this was a huge qualifying session for him, because Lewis would have got pole. He pretty much could have written his championship off. So did that pressure get too much, and he go, I'll just drive off and cause the yellow flag? But it doesn't seem the type of bloke to do that. But
no, he looked a little bit sheepish in the post-race, in the post-qualifying interviews. But then I suppose with what had happened, he would do anyway. It's difficult, isn't it, working out the cause or the effect, whether he was seesawing the steering wheel because he was carrying too much speed in, or whether he was deliberately carrying too much speed in because it was all part of the plan, or whether it was just an accident. Or
When I saw it live, or live on qualifying, I saw him lock up and I thought, oh, he's locked up, he's gone right, that means Hamilton's got it. But then when I saw the slow-mo replay and he was soaring, I thought, is he doing that to unsettle the front of the car and to deliberately lock the wheel? But it was also interesting, he decided to reverse out of the escape road as well. He didn't go to the bottom and wait until the end of qualifying and take it out, but he started to do it while qualifying was still going. Now, there's also talk, I remember on Sky, they were saying, is that what caused the yellow flags?
Him reversing out rather than going off.
Because he actually said he saw Lewis coming and then stopped when he was reversing. So maybe that's partly why reason Lewis was so upset.
What a mess. Tell you, it is a good question. Does it matter if he meant it?
This is exactly, I'm glad you came to me with that, Michael, because that's exactly what I was going to say, is whether he meant it or not, how do we feel about it? If he did mean it, he's a racing driver, got pole position, he won the race. So, I mean, we've seen some pretty underhanded stuff in the history of Formula One. We've seen some very interesting
things. We didn't hurt anyone.
He didn't hurt anyone, he didn't cause any problems, and you'll never be able to prove otherwise. So, I don't know. I don't think it does matter. I don't think at the end of the season, are we going to come back and go, oh, if only Nico hadn't done that? No, because there's going to be so much better racing between now and the end of the season that there'll be so many more opportunities for those people to go out there and shine and do what they do and prove who the better racing driver is.
It's not many race weekends where we focus quite a lot on qualifying. I think Monaco is one of those because it is so important. Once you get pole and then you get a good start, that's pretty much it, I suppose. And Rosberg wasn't really troubled during the race. Where was Lewis foiled? He seemed to be beating himself up a bit that when the second safety car came out, he didn't pit, and he kind of half blamed his team, and I think he half blamed himself that he didn't take a punt on a pit stop.
Yeah, because I think it was lap 30,
which
I think
it was around. Yeah,
so it was his last chance, really. Because obviously he didn't get him at the start, so his last chance was at a pit stop. Because apparently Mercedes have one strategic guy, and McLaren had two, and so it's per car, where Mercedes is all one team. So you're sort of saying that under McLaren, they'd have said, pit, we can try and overtake Button, would have been his teammate. But Mercedes obviously don't do that, so even if they said pit, there's pit, they said no, we'll carry on.
That's very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's right. I mean, we're such a dominant car, maybe they should have two different sides to make it
a bit more. You've got two racing drivers, and if you're going to let your racing drivers race each other,
yeah,
then I think you should have two separate strategies. You've got two race engineers, you've got two sets of everything, really.
Because with the one, you're working more as a team. That guy's working to get the best finish for the team.
That's it.
Whereas with two individual, they're working for the best finish for that driver.
And I can understand how that's worked for them in the past two or three seasons, because in the past two or three seasons, Mercedes have been a team that have needed to grab as many points as they can, and they've not really been in a position to win a lot of races. And they've won a couple, but they've not been the dominant team they are now. The dominant team that you are now, and it's basically between your guys for the championship, you need to pick a side, guys. You can't sit on the fence.
It puts even more on the fact that Nico needed to finish on pole, or to take pole in qualifying as well, didn't it? Because I believe they've done it so that the person who is leading the race has dipped, or it leads into the first corner, has dipped on strategy. And if you've got one person deciding it, then he was always going to give Nico priority. So there we go.
I think the key is luminous yellow on your helmet, because Nico's now won it 2 years in a row. He's got luminous yellow on his helmet somewhere, hasn't he? I know he used to have.
Yeah,
not as much this year.
Not as much this year. He's got that matte black and silver. And then JB with Braun won it as well, and he had bright luminous yellow on his helmet as well. So this is it, people. When it comes to Monaco, and then Seb Vettel, muted bronze. No.
Oh, I don't know what that does. What if he had his leopard print in his seat again? A few other things that went on with Lewis. He lost sight in his eye, in one of his eyes, which apparently meant he was driving around with one eye. Now, that's obviously terrifying. Sounds terrible. Someone seemed to suggest, yeah, it's just mind games now, isn't it? Because maybe he was using it as an excuse because he wasn't going to win. But
if it is legit, I think I was talking to Kyle just before we came in, that's terrifying at a normal circuit. At Monaco,
I don't know.
My goodness, the depth perception alone. What horrors.
Because he sort of dropped 4 seconds one lap, didn't he? Because then I think the radio came over, he probably, you know, what's going on, Lewis? You know,
yeah.
You know, is there something wrong with the car? And obviously he came back with, I've got something in the eye, I can only see at one, so it would have been a strange thing to come up with, I thought. He seemed worried, because obviously the next message was, he said, you let me know if racing, or how the race is going. And obviously told about Ricardo, because he was catching up, and he said, oh, I'm not worried about Ricardo, just worried about Rosberg. So obviously he's still worried about Rosberg, so I wouldn't have thought he'd made it up. It's just such a strange thing to...
was a strange one. Ricciardo, who I will continue to call Ricciardo. No, that's fine. That's fine.
He puts the caveat in every time.
I'm a one-man band. Every time, one-man band on that. He came really close, didn't he? In fact, Lewis did pretty well to hold him off.
He did. Yeah, we've seen Lewis defend several times this year. I think, you know, Bahrain particularly. So we know how good he is at, you know, defending. But what I thought was quite interesting with that radio message as well, he came across, first of all, he was quite angry and shouty. But at the end, he kind of remembered that that's his team, and he went, please. And he kind of went, please, you know, hoping for the best, you know. Like, come on, please help me, just do something for me.
There was a bit of that, because we had Sebastian Vettel. He's like, oh, come on, guys! Oh, but yeah, I kind of know. I know you're trying.
I know you're doing your best, but seriously, you get it.
A lovely moment. A couple of little things to touch on. I mean, maybe the problem was Lewis Hamilton didn't have enough sleep, because, of course, he overslept, I think, for FP1.
Yeah.
He ended up having to run to the garage after the green light had gone.
And Nicole was there the weekend, so...
Kyle, what are you saying? Quick, moving on. And
Cumber's introducing an element of filth to the podcast.
There's the level dropping.
I would say on that front, it's slightly different front.
Oh God, what's he going to say? What's he going to say?
With Nicole Scherzinger being there, a few years ago when they split up, Hamilton went into that same zone, didn't he? Quite down and not very happy. In one of his interviews, I think, was it BBC or Sky? I can't remember. One of them, might have been Ginny Gow for BBC, said, "Why are you down at the minute? Well, you know, can you tell us why you're upset and like this?" And he said, oh, I'm not going to say. And I think there's something happened there that he's obviously...
Blaming Nicole, Richard. You can't blame Nicole. Well, you can.
Well, you can, because if you remember, what race comes next?
Canada.
And we all remember what happened when Canada was a washout and Lewis was filmed with Rihanna. And it all went went ballistic. He's got a return date with Rihanna planned in Canada.
A final note. Nico Rosberg becomes the first back-to-back winner of the Monaco Grand Prix since Ayrton Senna. It's not
the
a badge.
Great Ayrton Senna.
It's not a bad badge of honour to wear that one. Okay, let's have some EDP F1 pit stops. Only one place to start for this. Mauritia. I've been following this story of these new, and then they developed into young teams. some fell by the wayside, HRT. Some never made it to the grid.
US
F1.
Yeah.
Who we may yet see in the coming years, you never know. Mauritia and Lotus Racing, stroke Team Lotus, stroke Caterham. Mauritia as Virgin, of course, set off on their path, and they had to wait 5 years to pick up their first points. And us, here in Norfolk, can celebrate Mauritia, damn it, yeah, winning, getting the first points, pipping Caterham. Jules Bianchi, what a race for him. 2 points, finished ninth with the penalty. Where to break this down? Well, first of all, I remember watching it at the time when Bianchi was given a 5 second stop and go penalty, and then he took it under the safety car, and I thought, well, you can't do that surely, because there's no penalty there. They obviously thought they could, and then they kind of got the 5 seconds added on at the end, which seemed a little bit dubious, possibly. Or they got a 5 second penalty for taking the original penalty under the safety car, which is why they got only 5 seconds added at the end rather than having to do the penalty again. Does that make sense?
So they got a penalty because they didn't take the penalty correctly.
Yeah. They got a 5 second penalty because of when they took the first one. And that happened to knock him down from 8th to 9th. 2 points, their first points in the championship. Terrific effort. What a day for them.
Absolutely fantastic. Great work, and a solid drive as well, especially to keep your head when a lot is going on around you, and safety cars as well. A lot of stuff can go on there, but yeah, I think they did great, and I think it is worth a little shout out to Caterham, because they were only one position
11th,
out.
Marcus
and
Ericsson.
I mean, think at any other race, Caterham coming 11th, they would have been ecstatic with that.
Well, Ericsson started from the pit lane.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great drive for Caterham. Let's not take that away from them. They did really, really well, but completely overshadowed. Hats off to Mauritia.
And it was the important move that Bianchi pulled off. Was that at Raskas, I think?
It was at Raskas, yeah.
And just a couple of those.
The free bump.
Well, three kisses, I believe it got called on Kamui Kobayashi. Now, two issues here. I don't think Kamui Kobayashi should be being overtaken at Raskas like that.
No.
But good move, brilliant move. I mean, he did kind of, you know, bump it off the side of him a few times. I mean,
it was only because it was at Monaco, I think.
Is that the only way you can get past anyone at Monaco?
Yeah, I think, and the reason it was Monaco is he didn't get a penalty, because I think any other track he probably would have been given a penalty. But maybe the stewards just, yeah, as it's Monaco, I'll just let it go.
I liked it. Liked it, man. He's just the young team, young driver, getting in, making a name for himself and crowbarring himself in there. Now, any team who looks to him in the future is going to look at that drive and think, do you know what? This kid knows he's not going to settle. Because, hey, he could have stayed behind Kamui and still would have been lauded for having a fantastic drive. But no, pushed his way forward, got his way through, wanted everything that he could get out of that car. Did great, great work.
The way to get past a car in Monaco. It's a great move. All right, then. We'll take that. We mentioned Sebastian Vettel earlier. It was his 100th Grand Prix, I think, wasn't it, this weekend? So maybe his 100th. Yeah. It didn't go very well, did it? Let's be honest. He's not getting much luck.
No, I mean, all his good luck over the last 4 years.
It's just chickens are coming home to roost. Hey, Kyle. And some people thought he was good.
Yeah, I mean, sort of Ricciardo's form. I don't know if it's bad for Webber. It's even worse for... Sorry, bad for Vettel. Even worse for Webber, because it doesn't look good for Webber, because Vettel destroyed him for a good few years, and now Ricciardo's just stepped in the team and he's beating him.
I suppose we need to see them both have solid weekends, don't we? Because Vettel's had so many problems every weekend. We haven't. It's almost in Ricciardo's interest to have himself go up against Vettel, who's on it, and see who's got the better pace at, you know, and get some more.
I still think when all things are said and done, and if they're both in a workable car, I think Vettel smokes Ricciardo. No, I mean, no disrespect to Ricciardo. He's a fantastic driver, and he's what they need is a bit of, you know, an injection of young, likeable talent into the team to replace Mark, who was this old stalwart veteran that everyone, most people loved. But yeah, he's doing the job that he needs. But I think on the right day, when Seb's got the right attitude and his car doesn't mess up underneath him, I don't think that Ricciardo can touch Seb. And you all know, regular podcasters, that I'm not a big Seb Vettel fan in the slightest, but I still think that he's the better driver than Ricciardo.
It's one I really want to see happen, to be honest. Let's hope it does soon. Jenson Button, what's up with him? Did he have a good race? Did it? It just seemed a bit...
sick. Nothing special. I suppose it's better. They actually got some points, because I think they're struggling to get points in the last few rounds. But it's just... Yeah, he doesn't seem too happy either, because Jensen's normally quite bubbly.
I think that's it. I think that just his old demeanour. It's like... Where's Jensen gone?
Yeah, because apparently I heard that he only spent 2 minutes in the interview pen, which normally apparently...
Really?
He's normally one of the longest.
Right? Yeah.
And I think maybe just... I suppose a few years ago he was winning Grand Prix and he's now 34. Is the motivation sort of dropping as he wants to...
Yeah.
I think he made an interesting comment when he actually won the World Championship in 2009. Because he's, you know, at the start of the new season he said, well, I've won the championship, I'm number one. Do it again, brilliant. But it wasn't like when Vettel won it, he was like, I want to do it again and again, you know, kept wanting to win. But Button, I suppose, because he was a bit old and put so many years and so much effort into winning the championship in the end, it was just all that relief and happiness, and he was just like, yeah, now I can chill out, I've been world champion. And I think that's almost all it is. It's been since then, because
it's a very James Hunt attitude to have, isn't it?
Yeah.
James Hunt wanted the championship, got it, and after that wasn't overly concerned. I think I don't know, I just get the feeling that if Jensen was in a car that could still win and could still compete, he would be after that championship and gunning for it. But I think Jensen's quite a realist, and he knows that at the moment he can't compete for it, so what's the point in complaining? I think it's since he lost the weight, personally. He's a lot slimmer than he used to be. He's a lot less happy.
I wanted to mention Adrian Sutil, because he had a bit of an interesting race. He was doing a few moves and what have you. It was like, oh, there's Adrian Sutil, and then he crashed.
That's his move in the hairpin, isn't it?
Seems to be his. Again, that's quite... I'm coming through here. Mine out of the way. No, just bang. Sorry. Coming here. Coming through. It's a bit like that.
Who's the one... Was it Kimi Raikkonen?
Yeah.
Off the bump, couldn't quite do it. I can't get round. No,
I
can't get round.
I said in the last podcast, you always get someone who makes a fool of themselves trying to overtake at the hairpin.
Yeah.
And this weekend it was Raikkonen.
I must mention Daniel Kvyat, because he had a pretty good weekend until I think his car packed up, basically. Yeah. There were quite a few cars that packed up. I don't know if because they've only got to use five engines they've got all season. They've not got many. I just wonder if they're going to be pushing them every so often to see how much more they can get out of them.
Maybe thought, oh, Monaco's not a big power track.
Yeah.
We'll try and sneak in a race here.
It did seem unusual that so many blew up.
I thought it was quite good seeing the engines blow up again, because we haven't had that properly for years.
Yeah.
It's always good to see. As long as no one gets hurt, obviously.
It's good to see an engine properly let go.
Yeah, it's a good one. Did we have any problems telling Sauber and McLaren apart? Because I think some people are at the moment.
It's
the commentary. They're both ugly cars.
Well, I was about to say, what, in terms of performance or just in terms of how they look? Because, yeah, both.
We are keeping to a deadline here. We are doing well, boys. Of the weekends, then. Start with driver of the weekend.
Oh, a lot on the shortlist for this one.
Go on, then.
A lot on the shortlist. Shortlist, obviously, we've spoken about Jules.
Mm-hmm.
Jules, cracking drive. Got to give a shout-out to Nico Hülkenberg.
Yes.
Had an absolutely fantastic drive.
Managed the podium.
Kimi, up until he made a fool of himself, I think he wrote himself out of that because he was just doing outstanding.
Yeah, it was.
Again, Ricciardo getting up on the podium. A lot of shortlisters. I'm going to have to give it to Jules Bianchi. You get the first points for a team, and it's not even 1 point.
No,
it's
two points. Could have been more.
You pull that home for your first time for your team, you deserve a medal, son.
I have Bianchi here. Anyone want to say anything else?
No, nope, I agree.
Yeah, I agree with that completely.
And the shortlist.
Excellent, yeah, lovely work, Pat. A goat of the weekend, or Maldonado of the weekend?
For me, it's got to be Suto, because he was doing an absolutely fantastic job and then just lost it.
I was going to say Maldonado again, because he didn't even get to start. Yeah. It's almost like Maldonado of the weekend goes to Pasta.
Goes to, surprisingly.
But, anyone else?
I would have said a couple of teams, to be honest. I would have said, sounds a bit strange, but Marussia and Sauber, because of the blunder with the penalty. They took it under the, you know, under the safety car, and you know you can't do that. You haven't been able to do that for years. And I think for teams to be in Formula One and get that wrong, and you really should know that. When the fans at home watching it do, and thinking what you're doing, you know, for the teams to get it wrong, and I thought that was a bit of a blunder, to be honest.
Yeah, I suppose it kind of, in the end, it kind of worked out for Russia, didn't it? I suppose. So,
was it Maldonado's fault for the penalties? Because he obviously stalled, didn't he, and left.
Yeah.
So did they then just?
Gutierrez moved up a place on the
so
grid.
They all just then followed.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
See, Pasta. So who are we going to give it to? We're going to give it to Pasta again? Brilliant. Okay, team of the weekend. We can't give it to Marussia because Richard says they shouldn't get it. But I had just on the occasion for Marussia, but.
Yeah,
or can't really give. Again. Yeah,
get a bit boring giving it to Mercedes.
I suppose Mercedes didn't really control their drivers, did they? That was the problem.
Overall, yeah. I will just say I'm not saying Marussia had a bad race. I thought they did very, very good.
Yeah.
I just thought it was I don't know who was in charge with the blunder. I was saying, yeah, let's do the penalty, the pit stop when the safety car's out. But apart from that, they did really well.
I think if you're looking at team, I think you've got to give Ferrari a mention there.
Yeah,
as well,
I was
because I think
that,
it's Kimi's mistake. That's like, it's not a team problem.
Didn't he actually get hit by someone for a punch as well?
Exactly. Yeah. And up until that point, Ferrari were going very, very strong. So I think they get a nod, but they don't get it on this occasion.
Okay, fair enough. So who are we giving it to? Marussia?
I'd go for Marussia. You bring points down. You get the lot.
Yeah, fair enough.
From the podcast crew.
Highlights, anyone? I was actually going to nominate one from qualifying when Alonso was on a quick lap and there were loads of cars in front of him just sort of, you know, waiting for their turn. He was nipping through them, left, right, centre. They were coming at him from all angles and he was just weaving his way through it, sort of lightning quick reflexes. So it was just summed up Monaco and having to drive
that was quite
that weekend. It was an amazing piece.
I believe the Hülkenberg move on Magnussen. Was it Hülkenberg on Magnussen? Yeah. Fantastic move.
Lovely.
Really important into strategically as well. Yeah. Really good.
I suppose Bianchi, that was quite a highlight. You, Carl?
Probably the whole qualifying, really. And the whole controversial bit afterwards.
Yeah.
I love all that. So
we're going to get more of it, hopefully.
I'd agree with the qualifying for sure. Because I sat there on the sport feed on BBC in the Sky. I kept refreshing every 5 minutes for about 2 hours after it.
Yeah.
I've never done that after qualifying before.
That's the way. That is dedication.
That is one time that you're tempted by that red button forum. You know what I mean? Like, tempted to get in there and watch it.
I've not really bothered with it since Jake left.
Yeah, same.
Sorry.
There you go. Vote of confidence for you, Jake. We know you listen.
Right. Okay, I think we should wrap this up because I've got a lot of predictions to get through in part two. So thanks all for that. That is Monaco for another year. Sadly, but
I still think it's a gimmick race, by the way. I still think it's a gimmick race.
Well, we're not having that conversation. You're wrong, we're not having that conversation this year. But you can have that conversation with Ped on Twitter if you want to.
Yeah, brilliant.
Go with it.
PedHD56 hashtag gimmick race. And I'll happily chat to you about it and give you my reasons.
Love it. Kyle?
At Kcumbers.
How about you, Richard?
At Bax_kid.
And I'm at Michael J. Bailey or at EDPF1 if you want to get a hold of us, and edp24.co.uk/F1 for this podcast, my Formula 1 column, and various other gubbins, including the latest from Caterham. That's after another tumultuous weekend. We'll be back with our second podcast looking ahead to Canada and back at our predictions. Until then, thanks for listening and bye for now.